This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng, and on The Breakfast Grill today is Daniel Birnbeck, CEO of the Malaysian-German Chamber of Commerce. As of 2017, they had about 400 Malaysian members, and with a GDP that's pushing about $4 trillion, the German economy is more than 10 times bigger than Malaysia's, and the Malaysian government bilateral trade stood at about $13.5 billion as of 2018. Malaysia is Germany's second largest importer in ASEAN after Singapore, and Malaysia is also ASEAN's number two exporter to Germany after Vietnam. Large German MNCs like Siemens and Infineon are no strangers to the country and have been operating in Malaysia for a very long time. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So today we want to ask whether this bilateral relationship can break new ground. And just looking at the Germany's GDP growth, it's relatively strong versus other OECD countries. You're running at about 2.5% per annum. Does this put German businesses in a good position to funnel more investments to either Malaysia or the rest of ASEAN?
Definitely it does, because as you may know, that Germany is based on mostly small and medium-sized family-owned businesses. This make up more than 90% of our economy. And they are everywhere, and they are exploring grounds, new territories around the globe. And our recent polls and our recent research and surveys have shown that they are putting Southeast Asia more and more into the focus. As the world economy is a bit slowing down and their order books are sometimes empty or not as full as they used to be, so they approach us and look for new markets. And Malaysia is one on their top list in the region and worldwide.
Okay, so there are two angles here. One is that is Germany in a position to fill the vacuum because the US and China are fighting right now? And the second angle is businesses are diverting their trade, the so-called trade diversion, right? That they're coming to ASEAN is a well-known example. Is Germany in that situation, is Germany taking advantage of those two aspects?
It is. It is not as easy as you would see that in countries where you have big multinational conglomerates venturing into other areas. In Germany, it's a bit different because it's not Germany moving out. It is the small and medium-sized private business people running around the globe and looking for opportunities. So it's not like a centralized operation, Germany expanding into the world. So we would see it as we can see the reflection of this expansion or the move into the markets. And as Germany has been always very successful in agility and reacting to market developments, they are also always quite fast movers because they are small. They don't wait for long decisions or some board members to approve. They just do it. They hop on the plane and fly out to some market and venture. So this is where we also see some surplus and some also maybe you would call it windfall profits because of the trade war, because they easily and fast grasp the opportunity and make something out of it.
Yeah, so Malaysia as a beneficiary of trade diversion has always been touted in the headlines so far this year. And when we look at the macro numbers, we don't find enough granularity. I'm just wondering, because you meet up with your members so often in the chamber, do you have any numbers to give us as to the magnitude of how much investments from Germany have come into Malaysia so far this year?
For this year is a bit early, but for 2018 we have the figures here. So we have like an influx of investment, foreign direct investments from Germany is €153 million in 2018, foreign direct investments. We also had this is the number from Malaysian companies in Germany. We have €457 million from Germany in Malaysia alone for 2018. It was a bit higher in 2017, but this depends on individual companies sometimes, like Osram in Kulim and High Tech Park. They did a huge investment there. And there's also, of course, as you mentioned, Siemens, Infineon, B. Brown, and other companies investing. But then you have this granularity that you mentioned. There's hundreds of small companies that go beyond below the radar. Mm-hmm. You don't really see that in big jumps and peaks in the statistics.
What was it in the previous year? I mean, you talk about slightly under half a billion euros. That's about 2.5 billion.
And it was slightly above. It was a bit above 517, I think, was in 2017.
So it's going downwards then. The trend is not...
It's not a trend yet. I would say it's like before that in 2016 it was 300, in 2017 it was 500 something, and in 2018 it was 450. So it's like hovering around this kind
of... Maintaining. Do you think that there would be a blowout number anytime soon, like going up to maybe a billion euros or something?
No, I don't see that.
You don't see that? So,
no, not so far. Not so fast and not like a surprising jump.
Okay, and just going back to Germany, is one of the highest trade surplus countries in the world, right? If not the highest. I'm just wondering...
China is higher.
China is obviously, yes, and that's the target of Donald Trump's tantrum. Yes. Do you think Germany is in safe waters? Will it be targeted by Trump next in this trade war?
It is already. Mm-hmm. It is targeted right now. Cars... He wants Germans to buy more American cars and Americans buy less German cars. So he's threatening to put some extra custom tariffs on German cars. And he has already, to some extent, put some extra tariffs on European and products and targeting maybe Germany. But as we have a European Union, we are not negotiating bilaterally, but we go through the European Union. So this is something that's making our lives a bit difficult at the moment. But it's also a very complex issue because we have so many car manufacturing plants in the US, which are German-owned or origin German. So it's a very complex issue. But Germany has a surplus, and it is a country that is living on a trade surplus. The interesting part is that Malaysia is one of the very few countries in the industrial world that has a trade surplus with Germany. So we have a lot of countries like Bangladesh or others that are on commodities or consumer goods. But industrial production, Malaysia is one of the very few countries that has a trade surplus with Germany. So we have like 8 billion euros of trade going out to Germany and only 5 coming in per year. So this is, of course, based on industrial production. Some of them, or many of them, are German-owned companies like B. Brown, as I mentioned already. So, but this is still make it special. There is a special relationship between Malaysia and Germany. A second aspect that I would like to mention is also the SME culture in Malaysia, which makes us a perfect fit. We have the same mindset. We are not talking, or German SMEs are not talking to GLC so much. They are talking to people on the same scale or the same thinking and the same way of doing business.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think this Trump policies would affect that German-Malaysia relationship, which is very good right now as far as business and economics are concerned? I mean, we heard this morning that America is not about to let go of the, you know, how China has been opened up or priced open by Trump. One of our guests is saying that even if we see a new Democratic government in the US, they will still not reverse some of these Trump's policies. They will take advantage of the advances made by Trump. How will this kind of trade war affect that relationship between Germany and Malaysia?
I would say that we already see a shift in the supply chains. We see some companies moving, German companies moving out of China, partly because of domestic China issues, rule of law or other things, but also part of it being affecting their business with the US. And they look for other alternative places, and some of them look at Malaysia, and we have recently just set up a company for a company that was telling us, yes, we don't feel like China is the place to be. So we look for opportunities, and we found out after market analysis and market research, we find Malaysia is perfect for our products and has the right fit of skilled labor, of production, suppliers, customers, and infrastructure, and all what it needs, and safety and rule of law and all these aspects. So we see some effects for German industry because of that big conflict. But of course, it is if you look at it on a worldwide scale, it is more harming the worldwide trade than these, as I already called them, windfall profits would make up for this damage that is being done. Mm-hmm. So we are, as a German, as a small country with only 80 million people, we are in favor of free trade and no custom tariffs and no non-tariff barriers, because it helps especially SMEs.
And also there may be another challenge in Germany, which is the local political development, the elections. Do you think that the elections will change Germany's economic policy to be more insular in a way that Trump did for the US? Because observers are now commenting that the far right and even the far left are gaining ground in Germany.
Yeah, that's true. But it is a reaction to some developments that already started 10, 20 years ago. So it's like the again, same like bit of what you see in America. The establishment is seen as something, or the established parties are not seen as offering the right solutions. I don't see it as a general trend or like taking over the control in the country. And I, of course, do not see even a populist far right or far left would not turn the ship into another direction. The general economy and society is based on what we have seen in the last 70 years. It is private, free trade, open markets, and a very, very privatized or economy, liberal economy. And we don't see that change.
We have Daniel Birnbach, CEO of Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce, on the Breakfast Grill this morning. We're taking a break now, and coming back after this, we'll look at Daniel's view of the ASEAN FDI hotspots. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
We had Daniel Birnbach, CEO of the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce, on the Breakfast Grill this morning, and we are looking at how Germany and Malaysia can help break new ground in trade and economics. Now, ASEAN is considered an FDI hotspot for not only Germany, but any major investing country. Daniel, where would the German investment dollars be going in ASEAN? Do German investors look at certain areas of specialization, and are there any emerging areas within ASEAN?
I would say definitely, because of the buzzword that you hear everywhere, is the industry 4.0.
And we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but this is a term that has been coined on the Hannover Fair in 2011 and has become a buzzword. And Germany, of course, is spearheading this movement of automation, digitization, and all the technical solutions tied to that. And of course, Germany is known to be an engineering world and infrastructure and industry. We have all these solutions for small applications. And this is, of course, very much so. And if Malaysia wants to, with the industry forward policy, it will, of course, try to speed up the movement of that technological revolution, as it is called. And Germany is there to help. And this is, I think, the biggest space and opportunity for growth and for investment. Again, it is not like huge companies with big projects. It goes everywhere and at the same time and small solutions. And it's an ongoing process. And I think there is, for the next decade or more, we will see a lot of cooperation there.
Do you see any unique selling points on Malaysia in the context of ASEAN? Because if you look at around the region, Vietnam is a country that's up and coming, and Thailand has always been known in the auto sector as well, in the supply chain. And I guess Malaysia has been there as far as the semiconductors and tech supply chain are concerned. So will this change, do you think? I think the chamber also feeds into the ASEAN network, right? The ASEAN network of German chambers around the region. What are you seeing on this front as far as trends are concerned?
Of course, we see some focal points in some industrial clusters like Thailand that you mentioned, and we see others in Vietnam with VinFast, with a new car they have started doing, partly with BMW. And there is some clusters that are special application or special situations for the countries in the region. But I would say Malaysia has, for, as I already mentioned, the SME kind of culture, the stable and 50-year-old development of industrial clusters and infrastructure, has a very broad offering for Germany. And Germany, as its economy is very diversified, it is especially looking for broad range of applications. And I think this is a good match. And Malaysia also has a very strong benefit of the English language being the lingua franca for the business world. I think this is making it much easier for German companies and people to come over and start business. And it usually starts very small and then becomes very sustainable. So I see there is a lot of things we can do. And we, as I said, we can see already a picking up a bit of an interest of the German business people talking to us, asking questions, asking us for market research and additional information in order to learn more about Malaysia and come to our events and come to our meetings and explore.
You mentioned the third national car project earlier on. What do you think about this project and what are some of the key ingredients to make such a project successful? Because as we know, Germany is a producer of some of the most loved cars in the world. So the third national car project, what's your view on this?
So far, it's a political project. It's an agenda. We have been talking to our German manufacturers, what their view is. They are still a bit of like waiting for what does it really mean? What is Malaysia's intention and what exactly maybe as detailed as what exactly are they looking at? Is it hybrid? Is it hydrogen? Is it electric? Is it autonomous? What is exactly the setup?
I mean, the auto industry is so challenging.
Yes.
And we see in the kind of movements that are being made around the world for car companies, a lot of problems, a lot of challenges there, not least the environmental problems, right? So do you think Malaysia should go into this?
I'm not really in the position to comment on political agenda or
I mean, from the viewpoint of tactics and strategy, like if I see a friend trying to jump off the cliff, right, I would say, no, don't do that, right? But what is your view on this, having the benefit of hindsight from Germany's vast experience in the auto sector?
I would say whatever is invested in that sector, individual mobility needs to be something that goes maybe for the next 100 years. So it should be really a vision, a future vision, not repeating old internal combustion engine technology that has been there and where we see in Germany a lot of challenges because it is hard to make it meet the environmental expectations and being sustainable for the future when fossil fuel is drying out. So I would say whatever is invested in that area needs to be invested in a very long reach into the future. So I'm not a technical person, so I cannot say which source of energy would be the one that will be successful. But as a friend of Malaysia and as a CEO of a Malaysian German bilateral chamber, I would recommend to my friend standing at the cliff to invest his money wisely and only for that in that area where it is most sustainable. But I honestly am not able to predict which area that will be and which technology that will be.
You know, when Dr. Mahathir, our then Prime Minister, and our current Prime Minister, started Proton decades ago, one of his intentions, apart from the establishing an industrial base for Malaysia, was also technological transfer. Yes. So fast forward to today, do you think that multinationals, including those from Germany, are quite stingy in their technological transfer? What is the state of transfer of technology today for developing economies like Malaysia?
As a technological and know-how transfer is something that is in the DNA of Germany. This is already, again, coming back to the reason is the SME culture. We cannot own every knowledge, so we have to partner with our clients. We have to partner with our partners in other countries. So the sharing knowledge and transferring know-how is exactly what we usually do. And this is also going into technical vocational training that we do. We train the staff of our clients and of our partners. And we are happy to do that. Why? Because a country is made out of federal states like Germany and Malaysia, and a country made out of built up on small companies is necessary. It's absolutely bound to partner and to network. So we are very open to that. And I would say that German car manufacturers, if they see an opportunity, they don't hesitate. They are not stingy in general, but they are careful because they are very cautious. They are risk averse. This is some of our nature and our mentality is being risk averse. And I would see that this is maybe something that they will wait and see how the opportunities is. And if they don't see it's beneficial, they just don't do it.
You know, you mentioned SMEs, and SMEs dominate the German economy to the extent of 50 to 60% of the GDP. And in Malaysia, the number is just under 40%. Mm. We're still very much dominated by the so-called GLCs here in Malaysia. Was there a particular German policy that was conducive for SMEs to thrive in Germany? And how can Malaysia adopt this policy?
I think it's not a policy. We are not a government, or we are not a country ruled by a centralized imperial government or anything like that in the history. So we are, as I said, built up on federal states with a lot of independence and a lot of independent thinking and self-governing and all that. So it has never been, it's not coming from some capital saying, okay, you should be more into SMEs. It comes from our history. It comes from the history of Germany as such. So I don't see that Malaysia can just initiate that from top down. But of course, what you need is that the private sector industry has freedom of and finds level playing fields, like as equal opportunities, fair treatment. Compared to GLCs, and this is something that we would say this is necessary for SMEs to thrive, is to have opportunities and equal opportunities to others. And if there is a strong GLC block in the market, it is always
a crowding out effect.
It's not equal.
Yeah. Yep. And you also talked about the IR 4.0, and very interesting to know that this term was coined in Hanover in Germany. There is the so-called ACES, the Asia Center of Excellence for Smart Technology, which is a joint venture between the East Coast Economic Region Development Council and Germany's TUM International, which is a subsidiary of the Technical University of Munich. Can you quickly tell us the story of IR 4.0, where we're going with this, and how optimistic are you that Malaysia will excel in this area?
I'm quite optimistic that the Malaysian industry is like up in arms, or not up in arms, but open ears and eyes and listening and seeing and watching what's going on, because they see that, especially these small companies, they see that they only have a chance to survive and compete if they are at par with their competitors from other markets. And ACES and other places where we are trying to train people and the generation of engineers and technical workers to become skilled to meet with these challenges that are posed on them. We are trying to support. Also, we are partnering with TU Munich with and ACES and ECR, the East Coast Economic Region, in order to promote this this educational effort, TVET especially, and Industry 4.0. We have special curricula developed and brought over from Germany to be taught here to technical staff, in order to go on that journey together with our partners.
And how is the progress? Because we see youth unemployment as a huge problem here. It's quarter of graduates who are not having
still,
jobs.
It still faces a lot of challenges, because the Malaysian industry is not used to be partnering in the education. They are used to have it done by the government or by state-owned institutions. And what is also lacking, it is a financial support from the public sector in order to make it feasible and financially acceptable for the industry to partner. But we have the GMI in Kajang, which is a foundation of German Chamber and MARA. So we have, and PSDC in Penang, where we do that, where we do Industry 4.0, where we do dual vocational training, German model. And we are partnering with the industry, and we are only lacking a few more members or companies to join, and the government to support and to subsidize.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And that was Daniel Birnbach, CEO of the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce, on The Breakfast Grill this morning. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.